And yet he welcomes souls like me. Isn't that a beautiful line? What a beautiful God. Let me come down here. How are we doing? So quiet. I love it. Thank you. Quiet is good. It is good to quiet our hearts before the Lord. Yes. In some houses, yes. Oh. Well, my sermon title this morning is called, Who Am I? I just want you to ponder that in your mind for a second. Who are you? Ask yourself, who am I? Like, who am I really? Who am I? I promise you this. If you don't know who you are, I promise you other people may tell you who you are. And you may not like it. Right? If we don't know who we are, other people will tell you who you are, whether through word or action. And people can make you feel this small, right? Can make you feel really small. As the people of God, we must know who we are. Because when we don't know who we are, we will allow other people, or even the enemy, to dictate that. So we need to know the truth, right? Because the truth sets you free. The truth sets you free. We must, as the church, know who we are. I want to start this morning by asking just a few questions. We're just going to ask a few questions here. And my first question is this. Have you found yourself? Just think about that for a second. Have you found yourself? Just listen. Have you found yourself? Where are you? Do you know where you are? Have you found yourself? And do you know where you are? No, not physically. Obviously, as Tristan said, I know you're in Provost. I know you're here in Provost Community Church. I know where you are physically. But do you know where you are spiritually? Where are you? Have you found yourself? Do you know where you are? These last number of years, as I've been privileged to meet with all kinds of people in all kinds of different countries, in the church and out of the church, I quite often hear people telling me, I'm lost. Chad, I'm just lost. I don't know where I am. And that's a problem, isn't it? If I don't know where I am, then how can I leave where I'm at? Because I don't know where I am. Chad, I'm just lost. I don't know where I am. Well, I know where you are. Let me tell you where you are. And let me assure you that you're not lost. People in the church are telling me, I just feel lost. I feel lost. And we can feel that, can't we? At different seasons of life, we can just feel, sometimes we can't even tell up from down. I don't know, left from right, stop from go, high from low. Right? I'm sure there's a song about it somewheres. Right? Right? We just feel lost. But remember, your emotions can lie to you. Feelings are neither true nor false. They're just how I feel. But our feelings don't get to dictate what the truth is, right? Where are you? Have you found yourself yet? Do you know where you are. Let me read from Colossians chapter 3, verse 3. Let me read that to you this morning. You can just sit and listen. I will read to you here today. Here's what it says in Colossians 3, 3. For you died, okay, you died. We'll explain that a little bit later. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. So have you found yourself yet? Do you know where you are? Have you found yourself yet? Do you know where you are? For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. Let me give you a visual. Here's you. Okay? Can you read that? What does it say? I wish I was this thin. But this is you. Okay? Now, your life, it says, is hidden. With who? With Christ. Your life is hidden with Christ. But you didn't see the pastor stick out his tongue in church before, have you? Your life, you, is hidden with Christ in who? In God. I don't have to lick this one. How sealed are you? How covered are you? For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in Father God. Amen? So don't ever tell me you're lost, because you're actually not lost. That would be a lie the enemy would want to deceive you with. You can feel lost, yes, but you're actually truly not lost. For your life is hidden with Christ in Father God. Look how enveloped you are. Enveloped. Some translations use that word, enveloped. You're surrounded. I love that line in that. I think it's a Michael W. Smith song. It says, it may look like I'm surrounded, but actually I'm surrounded by you, Lord. You are so protected. Your life is hidden with Christ in Father God. You are sealed. You are sealed. You're enveloped by him. Amen? Can you see that, Steph? Everybody see that? There's your visual this morning. Where am I? I am enveloped by him. I am hidden with Christ in God. So what does that mean? Let's look at Colossians 2, verse 9. Listen to what it says here. For in Christ, because now our lives are hidden in Christ, for in Christ all the fullness of the deity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, for in Christ all of the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form in you. And in Christ you've been brought to that fullness. Did you hear that? All the fullness of the deity. Your life is hidden with Christ in Father God. And what does that mean? In Christ now, all the fullness of the Godhead, of the deity, lives in bodily form. And in Christ, you've been brought to that fullness. You see this bottle of water here? Now, earlier I opened it, and it was so full that it spilled out all over me. It's right at the brim, actually, still. Now, this water bottle was meant to contain what? It was designed and created to contain water, right? And it's full, right? I can't fit any more water. It was meant to contain water, and it is absolutely full. There is nothing else I can put into this. No more water. It's absolutely full. Actually, to overflowing when I first open it up. Our lives are meant to be filled with who? With Christ. It's the only way we truly function properly. Without him, we get miscued and we get distorted and we go sideways. We get flustered. We get rageful. We get depressed. We get anxious. We get worried. We get fearful. Anybody experience all those? Yeah, because we forget whose we are. We're not lost. Your life is hidden with Christ in God. You're fully sealed. You're enveloped by him. And that fullness, you lack nothing. That's another thing I always have. People always say, Chad, I feel like I'm missing something. Again, there's that word feel. Your emotions will lie to you. We have lying emotions. And if you have a lying thought, that will stir lying what? Emotions. And then those emotions spiral us out. So that's why he says, hold your thoughts captive to who? To Christ and his truth. Because that's what's going to set you free. That is truly what will set you free. But you're full. You're absolutely full. The fullness of the Godhead lives in bodily form in you. And in Christ, you've been brought to that fullness. So do you lack anything? No, we don't lack a thing. I have given you everything for life and godliness, it says in Scripture. You have it all, and you have it all in Jesus, in Christ. Amen. So that is good news. So you should never say, man, I just feel lost. Well, you can say that. It's a feeling. But the truth is you're not actually lost. As a believer, you are not lost. For your life is now hidden with Christ in Father God. You're fully sealed. You're enveloped. You're absolutely surrounded by the God of the universe. Do you know it's a huge, huge revelation? When you can come to the understanding, when it says in John 5:5, Jesus says, apart from me, you can do nothing. You can't even find yourself without him. We need him in order to find ourselves. And where do I find myself? I find myself hidden with Christ in Father God. That's a good starting point, don't you think? Because we don't like to be lost, do we? I love how C.S. Lewis put it. He says, you get lost, you get found, then you get lost again, and then you get found again. We go through that process. But we're not lost. We are not lost. We are enveloped fully by him. Have you found yourself? Yes. As believers, we find ourselves in him. It is a wonderful revelation to discover that apart from him, you can do nothing. Have you discovered that yet? I can't do anything outside of him. I can't even find myself apart from him. Do you know who you are? Who are you? Which is the original question I started with. I better not drink from that bottle. That's my illustration. Who are you? How many people here have had other people tell them who they are? Anybody experience that? Yeah. Whether by word or action. And we probably didn't like it. Well, you're a fool. Well, you're stupid. You're an idiot. You're a waste of skin. I've counseled people whose parents even told them, you're a waste of skin. It's horrible. And that message stays with people a long time. So if you don't know who you are, you will believe what that person says about you, especially if you hear it enough times. I remember working with this young lady down in Lower Mainland, BC. Tracy will remember this when we're working in student ministry. And she had all the attention of the guys in the youth group. Long hair, thin. I honestly felt like I could floss my teeth with her. I felt like just would somebody give her a sandwich, you know? But she had all the tensions of the boys. But she couldn't see it. Because when she went home, she heard the message from her dad, "You're a fat, ugly mother dog." I won't say the word in church, but that's the word she heard. And she heard it constantly. Actually, I heard it one time when I dropped her off. And Tracy grabbed my arm and did everything she could to keep me from getting out of that car. And she believed it, even though she wasn't. She was not fat. She was not ugly. She was a beautiful person. But she heard that message from her father, and eventually she believed it. If you do not know who you are, you will believe what others tell you who you are. You'll start to believe it. And if you heard that message long enough, you will begin to believe it yourself. Who are you? I know not your name. I am Jeremy. No, no, not your name. I'm Tana. No, not your name. I'm Steph. No, not your name. I don't mean that when I say, who are you? I want to know the person behind the name. The person that's behind that name. Who are you? Let me read in the book of John, one of my favorite gospel books. And I'm going to read from chapter 1. John chapter 1. Keep the thought in your mind. Who are you? Not your name, but the person that's in behind the name. Who are you? Let me start. I'm going to start at verse 9. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. The true light who gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, he made it. It was made through him. The world did not recognize him. They did not recognize Jesus for who he was. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not even receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, so to all of those who do receive Jesus, to those who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, there's that word believe, to those who received him and believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Isn't that powerful? To those who would receive him, to those who would recognize him, to those who would see him for who he truly is and believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. Who are you? Who? Child. Yes, a child of God. You're not an adult. You're a child. Isn't that good news for some of us? My wife leaned over to me yesterday when we were driving back from, I don't know if it was the reception, so she goes, "Man, I feel old today." After being around all the youngins, I feel old. But actually, we're children, right? We're children, and we've been given the right to all who would receive Jesus. Who's received Jesus? Who believes upon his name? Then you have been given the right to be called a child of God. Is that not beautiful? So, church, who are you? Yes, I'm a child of God. You see, I remember one day, man, I had a really busy season of counseling in my office. I was meeting 6 to 8 people a day. And I remember I came up at lunchtime. I had no windows downstairs, so to come up and then the light hits you, you're like, oh, I made it a practice to walk and get the mail every day just so I could get some natural sunlight. Those poor people who came in, it was just cement walls downstairs, depressing place to come and get counseling. But, amen, that's all we had. And I remember coming up, one, and I'm eating my lunch on my own, and I'm looking out our kitchen window, and it was sunny out. And I said to the Lord, I said, God, like, I don't think adults have any fun. Like, none of us have fun. Like, and this had been going month after month of meeting with people, all these adults. And I said, I'm convinced adults no longer have fun. I remember saying, man, to be a child again. Because my kids were younger back then. And when they wake up, the first thing they think when they get up in the morning is play. Right? That's what they think. Every morning they think play. But man, and as an adult, you have so much responsibility, right? And I remember asking the Lord that day, I said, God, why are children getting so much out of life and adults not getting near as much out of life? And I just sat there with the Lord that afternoon. And I remember God said to me, this is the thoughts he spoke to me that day. He said, because your kids know who's responsible for them. And man, that hit me right between the eyes. See, they don't worry because they know mom and dad will put food on the table, put clothes on their back, make sure they have enough water, liquid, and even get things they don't really need. Right? They know who's responsible for them. And then the Lord asked me, here's the question that came to my heart. When did you stop being a child and become an adult of God? That's a good question, isn't it? I like being a child. Right? Jeremy, you're in camp ministry. Isn't it fun? You can sit back and hear the laughs of the children. I remember, who's been to Manitou Lake Bible Camp? Is that what it's called, MLBC? And remember, I don't know, if you're down in the valley where the cabins are and where you speak, you have to climb this hill to get to the food, right? The cafeteria. They make you work for it before you get there. And I remember the kids were laughing at me because I took like 3 stops on my way up there. And they're like, see ya, you know? And I'm like, right? They really make, and they're laughing, right? And so I'm the last one up there. So, of course, I'm the last one to finish eating, too, because they're all done, right? So I finished my food. And then they went to their afternoon activities, you know, archery and stuff. And so you go back down the gorge, the valley, and then they play. And I'm done, and I'm about to go down. And the Lord said, stop. Like, it was like, stop, like I heard it. And I stopped. And then I just heard, listen. And it was so quiet up there because there was nobody else but me because of my being out of shape. And you know what I heard? I heard children playing and laughing, and it echoed in that valley. And it just echoed, reverberated. And it actually brought tears to my eyes. I'm not going to lie to you. I stood there and just listened. And I brought tears, tears of joy, not sadness. Well, a little bit of sadness because I had to go back down that hill and come back up again. So I was a little sad. But it was the most beautiful sound just hearing kids play. Worry-free, stress-free. Right? No worries or problems because they know they have a father. They have a mother who's going to look after it, right? See, who are you? You're a child of God. What does that mean? It means you're so enveloped and surrounded. Your life is hidden with Christ and God. Don't be an adult of God. I don't know, in my Bible, I couldn't find the phrase adult of God. It wasn't in there. And I did check a few translations. No, there's no such luck. We're called children of God. That means we have a father who's looking after him. You know, I struggled with that going into abiding life, stepping out in faith again. I did it once, and I think I told you guys, I didn't want to do it again because it's uncomfortable. right? And I question, Father, are you really going to look after? Because it looks irresponsible of me. I have a family. I have bills to pay. They have things they want to do. And we do not have enough money. And I didn't want to go through this twice. The Lord, he did. He looked after us the first time. But a second time? Oh, man. And he did. Every month since May. Right, even again this month, Trace said, you know, we're talking, is there enough money to pay us? I said, well, I hope so. Not yet. And then another thing that we forgot about, a check came in. And I'm like, oh, we get to pay ourselves. And it was so exciting. Like, Father God really does look after it. I have a new definition of responsibility as a father, as a husband. It's responding to his activity in me, responding to his life in me. God is always going to look after it. Remember Matthew 5? Look at the birds of the air. They don't even store or save up. And yet, do I not look after them? Look at the lilies of the field, how they're clothed in all their splendor. How much more will I clothe you, O you of little? Yes, I did have little faith. I struggled last summer, man. I just wasn't, I don't know, Lord. I hate stepping out in faith like that. But then you learn to love it. Because you see how Father always comes through. God doesn't call everybody to that. I'm stubborn than most people, so I have to go through it. Okay, it is Communion Sunday today. I'm going to pause there. We'll pick up part two next week. So don't miss next Sunday because there's more exciting things to share. Oh, you're going to have to listen to it online, sister. Who are you? Are we adults of God? Is a father responsible for his children? Yeah. He'll always look after you, no matter what. Even if your behavior's bad, will he still look after you? You still did with your own kids, didn't you? Where are you? Are you lost? Your life is? With? In Father God. We're going to do communion now. And we, most of us have done communion enough to know what it is. But I want you to think about this. As you take communion today, as you eat of the bread, which reminds us of his body that was broken for us, and as you drink the cup, which reminds us of his blood that was shed for us, what does blood represent? Represents life, right? It represents life. Without blood, do you have life? No. No. Here, let me put this down. I could see you guys wanted to see me, didn't you? There we go. Jesus died on the cross for our wrongs, for our sin. Amen? And we have now forgiveness because of that. But you still have to receive him, right? To all who recognized him first, so that was stage one, recognize. And then those who recognized, they received him. And those who received him believed upon his name. Now, as you take the bread and drink the cup, I want you to think of all the identity that you have in being a child of God. That you have no worries for the rest of your days. It's your problem-free philosophy. Amen? It's true. It's true. I'm worry-free. Didn't Jesus say in Matthew 5, do not worry. Don't worry about what can you add to your life by worrying? I've got you. I'm a good, good father. I know your beginning, your end, and how everything fits in between. That's why God doesn't worry, because he sees it. We worry because we're finite, right? I can't see. But he said, you don't need to see. You just need to live with me in the moment. Trust me. Just be with me in the moment. You're not lost. You know where you are. I'm hidden with Christ and God. And what does that mean then? I'm full. I lack nothing. The fullness of the Godhead lives in me. So who am I? I'm a child of God. And as you take this, Jesus did all that for you and for me so that we could have identity. Not from the world, but from the Father. We're going to talk about that next week. Who your identity is from the Father, not from the world that you got, because that's what messes us up. And we're going to talk about what to do with that next week. So as you take of the bread and drink of the cup, I want you to rejoice and be grateful. Do it in remembrance of what he's done. That you sit here in freedom. You sit here with no worries for the rest of your days because, there's that word because of him. Right? For I received from the Lord what I now am also passing on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, right? So make sure we give thanks. He took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after he took the cup, saying this, "This cup is the new covenant, the new identity. The old covenant has been fulfilled in Christ. The new covenant. This is the new covenant now in my blood. It's in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are proclaiming the Lord's death until he comes for us once again." Amen. Let's line up, and I'll have you just come and grab a piece of the bread and a cup, and then we'll take together, bring it back to your seat, and then we'll take it together, okay? Everybody's good in the sound booth? You guys got? Yeah, we're good? Okay. Awesome. Because of Jesus, I get to live. Because of Jesus, I have peace. Because of Jesus, I have been given the right to be called a child of his, because of him. His body was broken for you and for me. Let's partake of the bread, recognizing his body and his broken in remembrance of him. In the same way, we take the cup which represents his blood that was shed for you and for me, his pure blood. Jesus was pure. His blood was the only thing that could heal the brokenness between God and man, because it was pure. It was perfect. It brings healing. It brings wholeness. It brings fullness. Amen. It brings life in all of its fullness. This drink represents his blood that was shed for you and for me. We're going to do this in remembrance of him. Let's partake together. Lord, it says you gave thanks. You gave thanks when you broke the bread. And so, Lord, again, I think it's the best words we have in this English language is to say thank you. Thank you for the blood that you shed. Thank you for the life that you've given us. Thank you for the forgiveness of past, present, and future wrongs that you've brought to us. Lord, we're going to proclaim here this morning that we do recognize you as a church. We recognize you for who you are. We recognize that apart from you, we can do nothing. But we also recognize that in you, we can do all things. Thank you for giving us the right to be called a child. It means so much, Lord, to be a child. I don't live out of my identity the world gave me. We don't want to do that. We're going to live out of the identity, Father, that you've given to us through your Son, Jesus. Thank you that we're fully sealed by you, that we're enveloped by you, that we're not surrounded by problems. We're actually surrounded by you in the midst of the problem. Thank you, Father, for being who you are and making us and giving us the right to be your children. We're going to live in that freely this week. We're going to enjoy that relationship with you that you've given us freely. And we pray this because of Jesus in his name, and all of God's children said, amen. Amen. All right, live in that truth. Enjoy your week and being a child. Be a child. Don't be an adult this week. Be a child, and we'll see you guys next Sunday.